This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Another conversation with State Representative Christine Goodwin this afternoon. Last week, a special session of the Oregon State Legislature to go over redistricting. What was that first experience in Salem as a lawmaker like?
Well, fresh off my first session, I must say it was quite intense. Learned so much about procedure, protocols, just all that is involved with being on the floor. And just learning the Capitol, learning my way around, which is quite convoluted right now because it's under construction. So it's a little bit of a mess. But we also did, on the 20th, we did a memorial in the rotunda for Gary Leaf, which was really, really nice. Very well done.
So you literally have taken office not only in the middle of a pandemic, but in the middle of construction.
Yes. And redistricting.
Yeah, that which, as well.
Yes. That was... That has been, I think it's really important for me to speak to my constituents about how this rolled out. I can tell by my emails that there's still a lot of confusion about maps and all that went on.
Well, and as the maps initially came out, what I've been able to access both off the legislative side and from one of the other lawmakers as well, you know, when you just look at it, they, you know, They're kind of simple, but yet they're not, because exactly where is that line in terms of what cities are where and all of that, especially as it applies to this area, looking at how things, came out. Well, and we'll get to the specifics of where the moves are and where the changes are in a bit. For that session, now you'd already been in Salem a few times since you've taken office, right?
Just for brief periods of time. Yeah, to do some onboarding. And I had just taken my oath of office a month ago. So it's all still pretty new to me.
And you mentioned,
but I'm making good progress.
Well, you mentioned just finding your way around. And I know that I have been told from other people in past years that oftentimes a lawmaker or a legislative staff member or a Capitol staff member can tell when somebody really doesn't know where they're going. They have that confused Capitol look.
Yeah, that's probably true. I did just tag along, though, with other members of the caucus, and they made it seem pretty simple and normal overall.
There is so much procedure. I have not ever been in a session live. I've certainly watched parts of ones, and much like Congress, but on a different level. But there are so many protocols and so many things that are done in a certain order and ceremonial almost. What did you think of all that?
I thought it was fascinating and very interesting. Learn a lot of new words. And just to, you know, just watching the business being conducted on the floor was, you know, it's happening so fast. Sometimes there's things that, you know, are what? Just happened there. Fortunately, there are other reps sitting around me that are able to clarify things if I have any confusion. Actually, just went a lot better than I even expected. I was pretty anxious that first day, but it really rolled out very nicely.
Well, and while I've never gotten to
White House, let me qualify that. The outcome wasn't exactly what I would say rolled out nicely. But and I'll set the table a little bit for going into this session.
Yeah, a lot of things led up to it. Tell us about that.
Well, the first, of course, everyone knows that new census data created the need for redistricting. And the redistricting process is the way, theoretically, to redistribute populations into districts. So the problem with that redistricting sounds good, except that it's an opportunity to gerrymander it, which creates a voter packing opportunity. And so that was, and particularly because we are in a minority party, the Republicans, and the majority party really, I think, initially wanted this to be a slam dunk in that they would determine those redistricting lines. So there's a lot of tactics that go into that, and the tactics typically would be you take a concentrated voterless, say you take more of an urban or a Biden voting population and you sort of blend that in with satellite rural communities that vote differently. But that just really dilutes their voices. They also will take districts and they will divide, say there's a real strong Republican candidate there, they divide that district. So now there's two candidates that have to compete against each other. They'll take districts that are on the edges. Of course, there's a lot of sprawl in Portland, so now they'll take a dense population, southeast Portland, spread it out to Hood River. So a lot of tactics. The Republicans saw it coming, and they negotiated what they use their tactical strategy to create a bipartisan redistricting committee. So there were three and three. Now, that wasn't particularly popular with Speaker Kotek. She didn't like that at all, but that's how, that was the agreement that we would approach this, each bringing proposals to the table. We would then negotiate on those proposals. That's not how it came down.
So then what happened?
So when we started to have caucus meetings prior to September 20th, which was the opening of the special session, and it was clear at that point, the lead negotiator, Representative Bonham, the Dals, he went in to negotiate on the B. So there, what's so confusing to people, and I understand this completely, there are congressional maps, there are Senate maps, and there are House maps. And then within those, the Democrats and Republicans had their proposals. And if you recall, there was a public input opportunity, supposedly. Because they presented, everybody had their maps, their proposals, and then it went to public input. But all of that public input was technically denied. And no proposals from, even though the B proposal, which was the Republican, was the most popular overall, that was not. It was just like, no, this is the deal. This is what we're going to do. It's this plan C. Kind of take it or leave it.
And one thing for a lot of people know, but some people might not, is that each Senate district is the same map as two representative districts. And so you've got to factor that aspect
correct
in as well. And these mold in under the congressional districts, too. So it gets pretty complicated, even if you take the politics out of it.
Yes. And actually, there was a good argument made by the Republicans, which happens in California and Washington, to have an independent commission. Because in this circumstance where it is so imbalanced in terms of the political party, that there is so much opportunity here for gerrymandering to manipulate these maps. So that's what they wanted. They didn't get the independent commission. They went for the bipartisan committee. And then on day one, that was basically denied. Speaker Kotek just disbanded that committee and created the partisan committee that she wanted.
Now, I've talked to even some Democrats who were really surprised
yes
that happened, and who have even said they objected to it and have said they think it's going to have consequences in her run for governor.
Yes. I hope so, because this was really dishonorable. She really, in fact, our leader motioned to censor her for disorderly behavior. Of course, that motion would not have passed because we didn't have the majority to do it, but the statement was made. But yes, Representative Clem, Salem area, he spoke out probably the most profoundly against it. You know, it's not just the minor, it's not just the minority party, it is nonpartisan groups, all kinds of groups, even the Oregonian. In fact, most of the media coming out after the first day was not at all supportive of Speaker Kotek's position to just deny a negotiation, deny a bipartisan committee, just deny a voice, really, to the Republicans.
Now, in the midst of all that getting started, once again, COVID-19 pops
yes
up. Talk about what happened there.
So that was after all of this blew up Monday. We are in caucus off at the Capitol. We were off site and discussing our nexus. Really, it was, we had to answer that. We had to answer her blatant disregard for our voices in the process. So at about late morning, we were in caucus, and it was announced that there was a COVID exposure from our caucus. It was a member of the Republican caucus, and therefore, we all had to go into quarantine. So everybody had to go home. for 3 days. Then we had to. Then there was a great discussion about that testing process, because really, is it more accurate at the 5 day mark, whatever. But I came home and took my test, and I was negative and ready to get back into session if we did allow quorum. We were denying quorum on Saturday, the 25th. And that basically, for people, and I didn't know this so very well, in Oregon, there are 60 legislators. There has to be 40 present on the floor to conduct business. So that is denying quorum. And in their case, they didn't even have a full, they have 37 of the 60. They didn't have, I think they had maybe 33, 34 present. So they needed Republicans to join them. That was our only real tool to force them into conversation. They were completely about the congressional maps, and I can break those down simply. I'm going to really try not to go into a bunch of numbers, because I think people are just confused with the numbers of each of the maps. But that's really what Speaker Kotek and Governor Brown want. They want that additional congressional seat in D.C. Congress. They want one more seat there.
We're going to talk more about this when we come back with State Representative Christine Goodwin. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1247 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249, Lars Larson at 1, your cue with Shannon Sebastian, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. State Senator Floyd Prezanski back on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. State Representative Christine Goodwin on today, talking about the special session and redistricting from last week. So people have looked at the maps. Well, let's back up before we get into some of the layout of where things turned up. But originally there was one Democratic proposal, but then a second one came out. Tell us about how that kind of evolved.
The only maps that were proposed to us by the time we arrived in the 20th was the map that the Democrats were going to support. So there really wasn't any negotiation or conversation about any maps. Here are the maps. So that's where we started, and there was not much movement on that. So until we denied quorum. And then I would say there was a slight bit of movement toward the congressional maps. Again, that's what Speaker Kotek really wanted, and so did government. They want those congressional maps. Of course, they were because Oregon grew 10,000, a few thousand over what the national average is, but that growth is primarily in the Portland area and Bend. And so that qualified us for one more district. But it's still a 5-to-1 ratio. So there were five hardcore Democratic seats and one Republican. That's what we denied quorum over. So when we did, they finally moved to a 4-1-1. Yeah, so three firm Democrat, one Republican, and the other maybe a toss-up. A toss-up and one Republican, it'd still be four Democrat. Am I doing my math here? Three? Yes, because there's going to be six congressional seats. So basically, it's still heavily leaning Democrat. And all of the little pizza pieces end up tying into Portland, the south ends of Portland, pulling that really intense Biden voting population into other rural districts.
And one of the shifts I saw was in the 5th district, Kurt Schrader, probably the most moderate Democrat,
yes,
of the ones in office right now. That now includes the Bend area, which has evolved over the years to more of a Democratic voting pattern than it was historically. But it's a very long, interesting, I sat down one day and just sort of plotted around, but of course I'm not looking at, population mm-hmm. data about just what, if somebody asked me, here's what I would do, the numbers probably wouldn't have added up. But it's interesting to see how they come out. So for people in this area, talk about for House seat two, for your seat, how the boundaries have shifted.
Well, before we move on, though, let's look at Peter DeFazio, because we're on congressional maps and he's House District 4. He was one of the few, he was one that was very unhappy with Speaker Kotek about the bipartisan committee. But in these congressional maps, his district has been really strengthened because he now has a huge part of Lane County, less of Douglas County. We're not as favorable to him as some of those other, certainly not as favorable as Lane County, and his district has moved north and south along the coast. So he's pretty happy right now. He's pretty secure again. But that's the congressional. Those are the six congressional congressmen that will go to D.C. Congress and influence our lives there.
Now, and now, before we jump to the state House, state Senate, for Douglas County, parts of Douglas County, as you mentioned, are now in the second district, but Roseburg and kind of the greater up to Sutherland area, places like that, remain in the fourth district. It's more, as Myrtle Creek now in the second?
So now in House District 2, actually, our district has moved a little more north. So Drain, Yoncalla, Sutherland, over to Elkton, West Elkton, Glide, That's it. Sutherland line. So now we have moved a little further north, and the south end has lopped off just by Myrtle Creek. I barely made the cut in House District 2. So Canyonville and Riddle are now in 4 in Duane Starks, which is a conservative district. It's still red. And Winston and Green have gone to Representative David Brock Smith in House District 1. Now, the previously, our district had those slivers of Josephine and Jackson County, and those, of course, are gone. They moved really far up north. I mean, it made no sense to separate Canyonville and Myrtle Creek because we share a school district. That was one of the criteria they were not supposed to violate, but they did.
And going way north, do you go clear to the Lane County line at points?
To Drain. Pretty close. Yeah.
So that'll be
Lorraine's on the other side. Lorraine is, yeah. And
And I know State Representative Hayden will have him on again in a few days when he's available, but I know he had talked about a lot of changes to his district being more urban. And I think losing much of Douglas County, of the section that he had, because at the moment his district comes up to pretty much the UCC boundary.
Yes. Yes. The good news, though, for our districts in this southern portion of the state, we are still trending fairly red. The problem, the big problem, the long-term issue is when these northern districts and the west, of course, toward the coast, a lot of that area west of Portland is becoming very Democratic. If we don't fight for those, right now we are hanging on at 23 to just a slight quorum. If we drop, if we drop 20 or below, they don't even have to have Republicans there to do business. That's what's scary to me.
And I'm sure that was a topic of discussion amongst your caucus.
Very much so, yeah. So we've got to fight, and that's really, they're just kind of picking off seats. Which of course makes us very angry. These are a lot of those districts that were really firmly red are just slowly, like let's say they were up in the polls at plus 15, they might be a plus 2 or plus 3, or some of them are contested. So that's the objective. If you pick us off, so now we're down to 20, they don't even need the Republicans to show up to do business, which would be devastating for our communities.
Before we go here, about 30 seconds left, what are your kind of final thoughts about how things ended up?
Well, I'm an optimist. I definitely don't like the way it's trending in our state and the power brokers of this state. I think it's greedy for them to consolidate their power in this way. And it does not represent Oregon overall very fairly. With Kate Brown only won by 50.1% of the vote, I don't want people to discourage that the state has just turned totally Democrat. It has not. But the way that it's being gerrymandered with the districts, that's where the voting concentration is.
All right. State Representative Christine Goodwin, a look at redistricting. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
You're welcome. Anytime.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.